Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypothetical.
When do we plan to start?
Fuck off.
I think we could start any moment, Chairman.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. This week, it is me, Chair Simon Cardy of this parish, with Clark Matt Perslow. How are you doing?
I'm here to call it all to order, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, have you read what the role of a clerk is?
I think, Matt? I've got authority here, Simon.
Do you? You have no authority here, Matt Perslow. Proper Officer Joe Screffle.
I'm Vice Chair!
Sweat the nation. I'm so sorry if you're not from the UK, because you probably have no idea what we're talking about, but I hope that the Hamford City Council Zoom meeting has made its way to you. You will have heard a snippet at the start. If not, just search for it. You're going to have a great time.
Are you team Jackie or team man whose face is way too close to the camera?
I've watched it a fair few amount of times. It's hard. I don't have the context. I almost need to see what happened in the previous meeting to see what caused this.
You've got to be team Jackie, as far as I'm concerned. If you're not team Jackie...
I mean, the man was just very rude.
Yeah, they're all rude.
They're all rude. No one, everyone's a villain.
Even the good guys are flushing their toilets during a Zoom meeting, which is not on. Yeah.
I thought John Smith handled himself quite well.
Which one's John Smith?
He's another one of the old men.
Okay. I liked the one...
Barry Burkill?
I didn't like Barry Burkill. The one called Peter Moore, who looks unnervingly like the actual Peter Moore that we would know from EA.
What about Julie on her iPad?
Julie on her iPad is brilliant. She shows absolutely no respect for the sanctity of the meeting by saying she's on the meeting.
It's fantastic.
I'm pretty sure it's Julie doing all the big gasps as well. Like, there's one bit where it goes back to Julie when the gasp happens. You're like, I reckon Julie's the Greek chorus of that situation.
But there's the two guys on Alex's iPad, which is kind of like a Gogglebox scenario, which I'm not sure. I'm guessing the older man is Alex.
Yeah,
and
because
the other guy is.
Because they point out that the other man on Alex's iPad is being very rude, who is the vice chair, who is basically a Reese Shearsmith character, which is really weird.
We never know his name. In my head, he's just called Reese.
He's called Reese.
He's the one who turns into Gollum as well.
Yeah. I'm on a team call, you fools!
It is.
He just like he goes into speaking in tongues. It's fucking horrible. It gives me goosebumps when I listen to it.
It's been an awful year, but at least we got this out of it.
So. Yeah. That was December 10th. Someone's been sitting on that since December 10th.
What's happened since?
I mean, there's probably been two extra meetings since then.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Some were called illegally, though, so we'll never know.
Could have been 90. Yeah. 90 illegal meetings.
That's enough talking about that for this week.
Disagree.
We'll definitely come back to it. Don't worry.
Point of order, I'd like to return to the meme.
You can only raise a point of order during a debate. So we're not in a debate. We're going to talk about a couple of games, old and new. We're also going to talk about WandaVision now. We're over the halfway mark. But don't worry, we're not going to do that until after feedback at the end. So you'll have a nice little spoiler warning in case you don't want to hear about WandaVision.
Because
you're just not interested.
It will be so spoilery. We're going to spoil it a lot.
Yeah, we are. So that's including episode 5, which came out today, by the way. So if you haven't watched today's episode, don't listen to that.
Piss off.
But more WandaVision later. We've also got a double feedback section, just because you guys love butter.
Oh, God.
Butter freaks.
Every time we say something that isn't about what the podcast is about, people really engage. Whenever we ask for questions about, like, what is your favourite game, people don't fucking email us.
And I do feel guilty, because when we do that, I tend to not read them and just read the ones about butter.
But to be fair, that's what... I'm really looking forward to the butter, so don't get me wrong.
There we go. A lot of good stories, just don't spread them.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. How do we boot him from the core?
He's booting him from the core. Only the chair can do that, not the clerk. So, oh God, this is going to go around in circles. Let's talk about Destruction All-Stars. Mm. Why have you raised a hand, Matt?
I'm going in with with Zoom etiquette.
Destruction All-Stars is a game I reviewed for IGN.com. It's the new car battling demolition derby? I've gone American. Derby type game. It's a PS5 exclusive and a PS Plus exclusive. So it's free if you have PS Plus. I gave it a 6 out of 10, which means it's okay, which I thoroughly think it is. It is an okay game because you guys have played a tiny bit of it, haven't you?
Yeah, I've played a few matches. I've not played very much Free For All, which I understand is the better part of it.
Yes. But that's the problem because it has a lot. There's the basis of a good game there, I think, which is the frustrating bit, and maybe it'll get there. It's just at launch, it's quite shallow, and the things I want to be able to do in it, it just doesn't let you do. So you've got the free-for-all mode, which is the best, is Mayhem, which is a 16-player free-for-all mode in a stadium. Everyone has a car with their own like hero character in there and a hero ability as well, which you can use to get extra points. You get points by ramming into other cars, destroying other cars. It's pretty basic Mayhem mode, but that's why it's so good, I think, because it is simple. And all you really want to do in a car battling game is just ram into other cars, I think. That's what I want to do anyway.
Well, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I'm not very good at ramming into cars. It's a bit, I don't know, Cardi, did you find it slightly irresponsive?
I've actually found the driving quite good, but I did play a lot more than you said. Yeah. I got, like, so you have to ram with the right stick in the direction you want to ram, and that takes a little getting used to, because I'm so used to using that as, I think most people are, as turning
camera. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to anticipate a lot more than you'd think with that. And, but the frustrating thing is, it's a game that is kind of set up to be a party game, but it doesn't really ever let you play it as a party game, because A, there's no local multiplayer, and B, the 16-player free-for-all mode, you can only play solo. You can't play with friends. Mm-hmm. You can't join the same game as them and battle against them, which should be, for me, the fun part of that is, like, if we could get 8 of us, our friends together, and just ramming into each other, then it becomes fun, I think.
There's a weird thing where, kind of like, when we tried to do that, the day it came out, is you do expect, if it's an 8v8, a party should be 8, and it's got a restriction of 4 players per party, and that just, I don't understand where the logic is there.
That's the other annoying thing, yeah. Don't have an 8v8 mode that limits you to 4 players in your party. It's just, it's frustrating.
It's weird, like, to me, because I have really fond memories of Destruction Derby games and things like Twisted Metal and, like, those old kind of arena-based car combat things. So I went into this really quite excited. Like, I kind of wanted it to be like an old-fashioned B-tier game with like smashes and not much else to it. And the weird thing about it is that I think it's caught between two stools, because I think the actual car combat really works for me, and I think the destruction modelling is really nice, and when it goes into those slow-mo moments where you've absolutely smashed someone to pieces and they're flying away, that looks great. And I enjoy like the swiping aspect and stuff. That reminds me of Mad Max, which is another car combat game I really like. But then, yeah, just all those surrounding pieces, the stuff that like forms it into a multiplayer game, just doesn't. It doesn't feel like it's been thought through properly. Which, like, considering it was delayed for 3 months, 4 months, is quite odd.
I think it is just at odds with what it wants to be and what it is currently. Like, there are these team based modes which are basically. One of them's a version of Mayhem where you rack up points by crashing in, it's 8v8 crashing into the other team and then driving the car into the tornado in the middle of the map before your car gets destroyed to bank those points. But, like, the other big part of this game is it's not just driving. Each character has, you can jump out on foot, and that feels great when you're jumping in between cars, but then when you're actually running around, I don't think it's very good at all. And you can then, if you build up a meter by collecting these pink shards littered around the map, you can build your hero bar, which means you can summon the hero vehicle, which each have abilities. Like, you've got Lupita, who can basically, you press L1 and a trail of fire just comes from behind the car as you drive. You've got Blue Fang, who has like big like shredding blades on the front of his car. So it kind of turns a little bit into Robot Wars meets Overwatch, which I'm into on paper. But then there's the frustrating thing of that's really good in free-for-all, but then in team modes, there's just like no teamwork. I wrote in my review, like, it'd be really cool if you could actually use teamwork and combine abilities like Overwatch. Like, if there was an ability like Zarya's Graviton Surge, which could bundle cars together and then another of your teammates comes in with something that can just blast them all to pieces. Like, those would be really cool moments.
Yeah,
but
you want kind of
it
like...
It just doesn't let you do that.
Yeah, like the idea of an EMP, which is so... quite common in car combat games anyway, being able to knock out sort of like engines around you in a sort of area and then mop up after you. But yeah, like you say, for a team-based game, it is only about the points, and it feels a bit like you're doing free-for-all within those team-based games. And so therefore, I'd rather play the free-for-all, but I can't play the free-for-all with my mates.
Yep. And just like it's similar as well. I don't know if it's just because in ways... I know I reference Overwatch a lot, I realise this, but I'm spoiled by it because they do nail what I love about hero-based games. Like, they're great characters, the gameplay's great, the cosmetics are great. Like, they're never, apart from the original right at the start, but there was always special skins. There are colour swaps in there, but you don't really use them. Whereas the only cosmetics at the moment in Destruction All-Stars are just colour swaps, and... takes so long to build up enough coins to actually buy a skin, and they're just rubbish. And then there is, on top of that, the premium currency, which is only for cosmetics, but also, which I didn't realise, for the little mini challenge series mode, which is kind of very, very loose story mode, which isn't really a story. There's a cutscene at the start and end that lasts about 30 seconds, but... like, they're hidden behind a paywall as well. And it's just that annoying thing I hate in games. And I know why they do it, and it's obviously thought out like this, but you buy currency in chunks of 500. I think it's £4 for 500, which isn't overly expensive. But then, like, the first two challenge shows combined cost 600, so you're going to have to get at least 1,000 in order to... like, it's just annoying little things like that. And I realise a lot of people say, well, the game's free anyway if you have PlayStation Plus, so paying £4 on top of that isn't an issue, but this game will eventually not be free, and then what happens? I'm paying for story content once this game is, I think, £60. I think that is still what it's being released as. Like, it's not, and no way is this a £60 game.
No,
there's not enough there.
I'm always in a I've got this half and half thinking behind kind of microtransactions in full price games, because I understand that the price of development keeps increasing, and you know, there's always the argument about the fact that AAA development is just not sustainable, so it has to make money in other ways, and if we want those games to turn up, I understand there's something's got to give somewhere. I don't think Destruction Derby All-Stars is necessarily a AAA game in that sort of manner that is unsustainable. So I'm just like, I don't know where the... especially from... it's a Sony first-party studio, right? Like, Sony
it's
are...
Lucid Games, yeah. They're a small studio, I think.
But they're a company overall that is,
yeah, it's
wealthy.
It's a PlayStation Studios game. It's one of the... well, it was one of, you know, the big launch games, supposedly, but it got delayed. And, yeah, it's that thing of, like, it hasn't done what Fall Guys, no matter... like, I don't know. I think people are still playing Fall Guys. It's obviously not as many as at launch, but they launched with a lot of variety. They did have server issues, but that got fixed. They had a similar problem where you could only play with four people, and you still can, but they have introduced private servers since. But they did launch, I think, crucially with the Battle Pass, which at least gave you a reason to keep playing.
Yeah.
Like, at the moment, Destruction All-Stars is like, a winner game, it's like, cool, like, there's no ranking, there's no Battle Pass to move up, there's no... I'm just kind of playing... and there's nothing wrong with playing just to have fun, but when what you're playing isn't overly fun, then it's kind of like, well, I'm not really going to play this.
Yeah, it speaks to me of, like... and I totally get why this happens, but it speaks to me of, like, this weird market force now where this kind of game does well, so we will release this kind of game. And but then the thinking about how to make that kind of game takes away from what you actually should be doing, which is, as we say, the free-for-all stuff, where you can't play with eight friends in a party, is just... that speaks to me of a company going like, we're going to be big. And so once we have a huge audience, we're not, people aren't going to want to play that way because it will be unfair or it will skew it. But this game isn't like other competitive games. It's a game built around the silliness and fun of those things. So it feels like they've compromised their own possibilities just to be like other people. And the first games that did that, you know, your Overwatches and, you know, going way back, like these kinds of games and the way they're marketed, Rocket League in particular, like that was built out of being different, not being the same. And it just, yeah, it feels like a missed opportunity to me. Like you can still make money through that kind of stuff, but not provide like the ultimate competitive version of your silly destruction derby game. Like it should just be good fun, not a,
like we said, it's just a bit confused of itself. I think it's, there's too many ideas there of different games coming in, and at its core I think the driving and the hitting into other cars and some of the abilities are fun, and given time it could develop into something more fun. I think if they flesh it out with some more modes, make it easier to play with people. I didn't even talk about when you play. I had to just play in my own empty voice party, because whenever you enter any game, any match in that game, it just automatically puts you into the game chat with 15 other random people. So you have to mute, you have to mute that every time you start a new game. It's just silly little things like that, which I think they said they're already working to patch out. So, you know, I'm sure this stuff will get sorted over time, but like right now I played for like 10 hours for review, but I'm close to deleting it already. Like I have no urge to go back and play it, which is never a great thing. So like Joe, I watched the state of play last week and I was like, this looks like it could be really fun. And it just is a bit shallow, I think.
That's the thing. I look at a game like this and I'm like, that's a lunchtime game. Like the old days when we all spent time together because we were in the same room. And then five of us went online
and realised four could fit in.
Yeah, we played it at lunchtime and went,
Right. Might go. It's never a good feeling when you're like, might go back to work, and you actually like think I'm going to go back to work instead of play this game. It's like I said, six. It's okay. Like it's good for a little bit of fun, but I just wish, yeah, you could play with more people, and there was a reason to keep playing. Basically, yeah, that is my opinion. Okay, deal with it. Joe, you've been playing a game which, by all accounts, is very fun to play with friends.
Yeah, boy. Oh, am I saying?
Go on then.
Sea of Thieves. I don't know if you've heard of Sea of Thieves. It's this brand new game. I kind of got back into it by accident. I'd had a hankering to go back to it for a while. I've done like a couple of drop-ins every now and then over the years. But they announced this season one thing they're doing where they've slowed down how much content they're making, or at least how often they're releasing it. So it's, instead of every month, it's now every 3 months. Which, you know, for a game this far into its life, you can kind of understand. But also, they've added a battle pass system, but a very generous one. Like, the actual paid element of this battle pass is so small that it really feels like doing it is a tip rather than anything else. Like, you're not expecting too much back. You get one, for 100 levels, you get one extra thing every 10 levels. And those things aren't exclusive to the Battle Pass. You can get them elsewhere, or they will end up coming out later on. So it's essentially like a preview program. And they work out cheaper if you were going to buy them and stuff like that. But what I didn't expect was, like, A, Sea of Thieves is now, these days, is a very fun game. Like, I think there's still the kind of person who's going to bounce off of it. It's not going to give you your competitive thrills. But if you want to tool about with some mates for 3 hours on a Sunday, fuck me, there's nothing I've had more, like, just consistent pleasure from in a multiplayer game for such a long time. There's so little stress, there's so little, pressure about it, and it's so often such a quiet, lovely, chilled out experience that you can just have such a nice time mucking around. Mm-hmm. But there's now a lot more quests. If you want to go on story quests, they're there, and they're on the whole, they're pretty good. There's a couple of duff ones. But then this battle pass just changes that one step further for me. I think it's really, really smart in as much as it's quite opaque about what gives you points towards the pass. So what it ends up feeling like is you're constantly being rewarded without knowing quite why, and it feels really nice. It's like just being given little sweets every now and then. It's got a bunch of like trials and things you can aim for if you want to, but I'm just completing them by accident as we go through. And like, it incentivizes just like that one more hour feeling so much so, to the point where I'm playing for the first time ever, I'm playing Sea of Thieves solo in my spare time, because I'm being rewarded for doing so beyond just going and doing the normal quests that aren't as fun without other people. And it's just like, I just love it. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm having such a nice time.
I should reinstall it, because it is the definition of a game to me that every year or so I look at and go, I should love this game, and I want to play it. But I feel like maybe it's partly on us. We never go, should we play Sea of Thieves? Like, no. I just never think of playing it.
That's what I've started doing to all my friends now. I've got like three separate sets of friends who are all weirdly getting back into Sea of Thieves at the same time, or have never been out of it. And it's just really nice to be able to dip in and like, oh, it's just so nice. It's just such a chilled place. Even when you're dying to a cracker, it feels quite oddly relaxed. It's brilliant.
In terms of the battle pass, what are you getting from it? Because obviously Sea of Thieves has always had, it's almost like, the reason I quite like Sea of Thieves is that it reminds me a lot of a toy box from when I was a kid, and it would just be full of fancy dress, and then you'd turn the box into your ship, and you'd fly a t-shirt and pretend you were on the high seas. Is like the battle pass, is that essentially like just more things for your fancy dress box?
Yeah. What a gorgeous childhood you had, Matt. It's basically that. Like, most of the battle pass, I would say the majority of the battle pass is just gold to go and spend on other cosmetics. Some of it will give you the premium currency, which I'm not that bothered by. Like, it's one of those things where you're kind of like, this is frankly really the only way they make it. Like, they've explicitly said, this is how we continue making this game. Is basically, we need the money from these battle passes, because otherwise, like, no matter whether they're owned by Microsoft or not, like, they need to be bringing in the money. And Everwild doesn't feel like it's going to do one of those things. So this is their Fortnite, for want of a better term, that just rolls along and lets them do other things in the background. So it gives you some premium currency, and then it gives you, like, you know, like a coat here and a gun there. And if you've paid for the battle pass, you'll get a set at the end of it as well. And as well, if you're a pirate legend, which is like the super high level end game stuff, you get another set of extra rewards along the way as well. So it really, it's incentivizing it for several different levels of player. It's just like, it's just very neatly integrated, but never obtrusively. It doesn't feel like it's changed what you're going to do in that game or how you're going to approach it. You're never going to get to a situation where like eight different people are trying to do the same thing at the same time. There are timed events, but like they tend to be just kill eight skeletons within these 10 hours and you'll have a lovely time. It doesn't feel like it's going to go everyone to this place and then cause fights and take away
you
from
no
the general
authority
vibe.
Here.
Exactly.
How are the public on the high seas these days? Are people nice or are people horrible?
I would have said they're nice, except me and my friends from a different podcast were absolute pricks the other day, and I'm still feeling guilty for it. We were sailing towards one of the story missions, and it just so happened that another boat had stopped on the island where our mission was. And it was just a sloop with two guys on it, and we hadn't fought anyone, and so we were just like, oh, they're like literally parked on the beach, there's nothing they could do. And we were just like, let's just sink this ship. Let's just do it. And so we just turned broadside, absolutely battered them with cannons, killed them. And then suddenly I was like, holy shit, have you seen how much treasure's on the beach? And they had like 12 chests, mostly things that none of us have ever seen in the game before, like names for chests. Like, that one of the chests was just called Crate of Extraordinary Items. And we were just like, we were going to, like, when we first killed them, we were going to leave it and just let them come back. And then we saw that, we were like, we have to fucking take all of
this. That could have been a father and son separated by pandemic, playing together, having a lovely time. And then you come along.
I think my friend Steve said, and correctly was like, if that happened to me, I would turn off my Xbox and not come back. That would be it for me. Because, we've just... The amount of work that must have gone into getting all that stuff, I dread to think. No.
But that's worst case scenario. Best case scenario, it's Alid and his mate on the sofa playing. Exactly. And you've done it to them.
But it was a beautiful pirate moment. Like, it really, you know, It lived up to the fantasy.
Well, it's Sea of Thieves. It's not Sea
exactly.
of Mates, is it?
But yeah, just the way we were giggling all the way back to the outpost to sell everything, just like just having such a funny naughty time. It was great. It's such a naughty game. Oh, it's lovely. I think everyone, if they can, just go back and give it a go now and see what you think. Like, it might do nothing for you, but I honestly think if you've turned off of it for a couple of years, give it a go now and see what you think, because I think there's so much more to it.
I'm going to download it onto my Xbox today. If I can tear myself away from that sweet, sweet Warzone. But, you know, that's a less of a pleasant experience. It's often quite tense.
That's what I was thinking as we played Warzone and repeatedly lost last night, where I was just like, I could be on the fucking
We had some good games, though.
We did all right. I was with lovely people. That's what mattered to me.
Yes, and but that's what... Friendship matters overall, and that's something I think that the Hamforth City Council, Parish Council even, could learn.
I do want to point out the moment in that game, though, where I was the only person left and you just quit the game with it and took me out of it.
Don't bring that up. I don't want to bring out all the times we saved each other's lives and killed whole teams. But, yeah, I forgot you had a gulag left night. I may have left the party.
Absolutely, but
that's fine. It's fine. That's all the games we've got to talk today, but we've got, like we said, we've got Double Feedback and WandaVision spoilers coming up. But first, why not play a game of our own? Inside, it's the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? I say a game of our own. Joe, you've stolen one from someone who's kindly written in.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go for what Emil Lang. I'm gonna say Emil Lang or Emil Langer? From Denmark, who I think has emailed in before. He's given us just a good old-fashioned game of Go On Name 'Em to play through, with a variety of different things. Some of them game-related, some of them definitely not. I'm interested in your responses to these. I think we'll learn a little... I fear, Matt, that this might... play into Cardi's general knowledge trivia brain.
I don't want to know what you think I know.
No, I don't. It's nothing gross. It's just stuff that's very much not in our wheelhouse. But we'll get there. So, courtesy of Emil, we're going to play 5 rounds of Go On Name 'Em. If you don't know how it's played, essentially, 2 players bid to name the most items in a list, and the person who wins those bids has to do all of them without one mistake, and they get a point if they do so. That was quite a good explanation of that game.
Succinct.
I've never done it that well before.
We should have it down by now.
But we don't. Round one. Sackboy has starred as a character, creature, or costume in 14 games. This does not include non-living Sackboy plushies, such as in The Order 1886 or Uncharted 3.
I mean, yeah, I had those in my back pocket.
Can you name, or how many of the Sackboy-related games, or Sackboy-starring games, can you name? And we'll start with Matt on the bids.
Bastard.
And he's alive?
Yes.
So...
character, creature, or costume?
He's alive.
It's where it becomes costume.
I think costume... in this case, from what I can see from the list, appears to be more along the lines of, like, playable character-type costume, rather than I'm wearing a Sackboy costume. I may be wrong, but that seems to be
right. Right, okay. I'll start with 4.
Cool.
That's a good sweet spot, isn't it?
It's very good.
Okay. 5.
Six.
See, I feel like I could maybe risk a 6. I don't know if I could risk a 7th. Let me have a brief little think. I don't know if this one's going to count. 7.
Okay. He's gone for 7.
There's 16 of them.
14.
14? Christ. How's Sackboy managed to make it into 14 games?
Cardi's naming half.
Yeah.
Of the Sackboy canon.
This is. Go on, name them, Cardi.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took you that long to say go on, name them, to be honest.
7. So I'm pretty sure I have 6. It's just the 7th that's a little wobbly. Okay, so I'm going to go Little Big Planet.
Yes.
Little Big Planet 2.
Yes.
Little Big Planet 3.
Correct.
I think it was just called Little Big Planet Vita.
It was.
Sackboy's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
That's in there.
Now, here's the one where I'm not sure if it's going to count. Astro's Playroom.
He's certainly not on this list.
He's definitely in there.
Is he? Is it a robot playing it?
He's in there as... There is a... Like, he is in it, like, as...
I'm looking him up.
A plushie and as a reference. But yeah, I don't know what the...
Little Big Planet Sackboy reference. Let's see what we've got. I'm just looking on YouTube. This is how we make sure...
It depends.
Sure.
Were we saying these are playable Sackboys? Because then he's definitely not.
They said it was like a living Sackboy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm pretty sure he's
tell.
Moving.
Oh,
well, let me see
it.
If I could think of that one.
Now, I'll give you one more guess, because we are unsure on that one.
Is it just called Little Big Planet Kart Racer? Karting?
That's the other one I was thinking of.
Little Big Planet Karting is there, so you have got your 7.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Astros was a... I was also thinking, like, I don't know, because I was thinking, was it called that, or was he also in Mod Nation Races, or have I made
he
that?
He was
up?
In Mod Nation Races. Right. Imagine remembering Mod Nation Races.
I played the Vita, okay?
The ones you've missed. Little Big Planet PSP was also there. Sackboy's Prehistoric Moves, which was a move game.
What?
Run Sackboy Run, an endless runner on mobile. Mod Nation Races. Ragdoll Kung Fu, Fists of Plastic.
Oh, God.
Invisibles, Shadow Zone, which I had not thought of. And in one that I kind of debate, but who cares? We don't need it. Minecraft PlayStation Edition in a Little Big Planet DLC pack.
Oh, is that where, like, the costume side of it comes from?
So he's kind of a playable costume, yeah. It's hard to say.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
I weaseled out a point.
Cardi got a point. Right. Cardi to begin on this, and here's where the left turns come in. There are 27 member countries in the EU.
Jesus.
How many of those 27 can you name?
I'm guessing this was...
this is an up-to-date
as of now. As of today, not as 2 months ago. Right?
Oh, it's as of 8 days ago, if that makes any difference to you.
There's some which... Like this. Right, let's start with 10.
Nice. Solid. Round.
12?
12.
14.
Oh, it's like a real auction.
you're right, Joe. This is actual real world shit. It's not my forte.
Well, it's less that it's not your forte. It's just that it really is Cardi's forte.
Yeah.
But it's not, though, because there's so many in there that you think might be in the EU but aren't. And some that should.
Look forward to those emails.
Give me a while. I'm just dotting my way around the map.
Indiana Jones in Matt's head.
Yeah, it is. What have you raised to? 14?
14, yeah. You said there's 27.
27. Have either of you watched Lupin on Netflix?
No. I haven't yet. I've heard it's very good.
It's fun. It's not amazing, but there's a good auction scene in that, and that's what I'm thinking of right now. You're both like sexy auction men having a good time trying to battle.
Is it in French?
Yes.
Okay.
I will say that the ending of Lupin is quite annoying, but it's because they've got part 2 coming out this year. So it's one of those ones where you're like, oh, this should have just been one series. Get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll like it. Surely you'll like it. It's Arsene, isn't it? Lupin is from Persona. That's what he's based on.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
The things you learn, eh?
Okay. I'm going to raise you on that one, Cardi.
Go on, then.
To what?
To what?
I'll go 15. Yeah.
20. I feel like... That wasn't me saying 20. That was 17.
Oh, no. Not a chance now. Go on, name them.
Okay. France.
Correct.
Italy.
Yes.
Spain.
Spain, yes.
Germany.
Yes.
I'm going to definitely start doubling up on these.
I'm going to try and remember.
Belgium.
Yes.
The Netherlands.
Yes.
Portugal.
Mm-hmm. 10 more to go.
Greece.
What'd you say?
Greece.
Greece is on there.
Austria.
Austria's on there. Are you doing that thing where you find countries that are basically the same and just say them both?
Kind of.
You're working around the Western Bloc at the moment, aren't you? That's, I can see it.
I'm going to touch, like, I don't think it's a risk. Republic of Ireland.
That is on there.
Denmark.
Yes.
Sweden.
Yes.
Finland.
Finland is on there. Four more.
How many more do I need?
Four.
Have I said Poland?
You have not said Poland, and it is on there.
How many more?
Three.
I thought I just had three. Oh, no.
No, you had four to go. Now you've got three. That's how counting works.
Slovakia.
Slovakia is on there. Two more.
Right, this is where you just got to guess the Baltics.
Guess the Baltics.
Slovenia.
Slovenia's on. Did you just say Slovakia? So, yeah, Slovakia and Slovenia, yep.
Now, it's a choice between a few of them for the win. I'm pretty sure, like, the most recent one was Croatia.
Croatia is correct. He's in. Okay.
A-level geography comes out of the bag.
The ones he didn't say. Bulgaria. Cyprus. I forgot it was now called Czechia.
I would never have
Czechia. I don't know how you say it. Estonia. Hungary.
Estonia.
Latvia, Lithuania. The classic combo. Luxembourg. Malta. Romania. That's what the ones you didn't get.
I'm happy with that.
You did well. That was very... Yeah. Very informative to the readers, I'm sure. The listeners, I'm sure they loved it.
Look at what you've lost.
Yeah. that's 2 points to Cardi. Matt to bid first on. There are 35 Resident Evil games, according to the franchise's Wikipedia page and the Capcom fandom page. Not including Village.
Right, okay.
This does not include director's cuts or ports... but does include remakes.
Okay, yep.
Makes sense.
And how many are we looking for in total?
35.
Okay.
I will say there are a number of... I'm just going to say this because I think it's fair. There are a number of mobile games included in this list.
Okay.
I'm not big on my Resi.
It does include remasters, but it doesn't include ports.
It does not remakes, but not ports.
Yeah, remakes, not ports or director's cuts.
Right,
I'm just going to have a look through. Remasters. Have they done like a straight remaster before?
Yeah.
They have, yeah.
We'll get there when we come to it.
Okay. I'll leave them till later.
It's a big list.
Okay, I'll start at a conservative 10.
Okay.
It's quite an easy 7, isn't there?
I will say
12.
Well, it doesn't matter unless you're guessing all of them.
12. 15?
15.
See, this is where remasters are going to come into play for me, if they count. We're not including a multiplayer modes in games separate to. I can't remember which were. Do you know what? Name your 15. I'm not going
to ask. Okay. 15, I don't think. Can I just bank 7 by just saying Resident Evil's 1 through 7?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Thank you for it.
Yeah. Then Resident Evil 0.
0 is there.
Yeah. Then Resident Evil Revelations 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then Resident Evil 2, the remake.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 3, the remake.
Yeah.
How many am I on now?
That's 12.
12.
Three more.
What else do I want? Resident Evil Outbreak?
Yep.
Two more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This
is where I would have been struggling.
Umbrella Chronicles?
Yep.
Yep.
One more.
I'm going to risk it just because I want to know if it's here or not. Resident Evil 4 HD.
Resident Evil 4 HD is not on the list.
Oh, I think that's unfair.
I'm happy to take it because one on this list was Resident Evil Maiden, the new demo, which I would not count on the list.
Whereas 4 was HD'd up as a remaster.
And it was also specifically a different game on Wii. Mm-hmm. I would say it is different enough to be considered somewhere between
as an opponent. I would say that was unfortunate.
I think Emil, you know, get your facts straight. it's good. We had Resident Evil 1, 2, 3 Nemesis, Resident Evil Survivor, Resident Evil Code Veronica, Resident Evil Survivor 2 Code Veronica, Resident Evil Gaiden, which is that weird Game Boy one.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Remake, Resident Evil 0, Resident Evil Dead Aim, Outbreak File 2, Resident Evil 4, Umbrella Chronicles 5, Darkseid Chronicles, Mercenaries 3D, Revelations, Operation Raccoon City, the best one, Resident Evil 6, Resident Evil Revelations 2, Umbrella Core, Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, 2 Remake, 3 Make, and then loads of mobile games that it's not even worth talking about.
Dead Aim was the one I was trying to remember, because I remember getting that on Wii when I was at uni, and I was like, what was that one fucking called? Because that's the light gun game, isn't it?
I would have just said Resident Evil Raccoon City, and I don't know if you would have allowed that without the operation.
I probably would. I think that would be fine.
I forgot about just Resi 1 Remake as well.
Yeah.
But there we go.
Right.
2-1.
2-1.
Back in the game, Matt.
And it is Cardi to guess first on this. The IGN Wiki countries. Lists 18 levels in the Hitman 2016 series, or trilogy, I suppose.
This is definitely Matt's wheelhouse.
These appear to be, as far as I'm aware, they're just the main levels, none of the DLC levels.
Okay. This is important. Is it the name of the level, or is it the location of the level?
They appear to be... That's a good question. You know what? I think we could take both, given that they are saying the same thing.
Okay.
And I will.
It's all right, because they do all have titles that don't have the location in them.
Oh, I see. No, they are location names. Yeah, they're not like whatever Paris is called.
Operation
like,
names.
Stop the party or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one, yeah. Stop the party. I love that one.
Yeah. Location.
It's not
names,
Death in the Family rather than the actual location that is that I'm not going to drop.
Yeah.
Because that would be an answer.
Yeah. I know that one. It's fine, Matt. I know that one. it's me.
Say it then, you coward. right. God, I guess first.
You said there was 16.
18.
18. I'll go with 9. Let's start with half.
Okay, I'll do 10.
Oh, he's confident on this one, isn't he? Little bit mad boy. Oh, I've got some fiber wire. Ooh. 12.
13.
Just say you can do them all, it's fine.
I can't do them all, though.
See, this is where I'd be half guessing what some are called, or as I refer to them as different things to what they probably actually are. I'm going to have to say go with is it 13 or 14?
You said? I said 13.
Yeah, yeah. Go with that then.
You want me to name them? Okay. Yeah. Paris?
Yes.
Is the first one. Sapienza?
Yes.
Morocco?
Yeah, it's written Marrakesh, but
Marrakesh, it's
the same thing. I'm fine with
that. I'll allow.
Bangkok.
I am the proper whatever it's called. I wish I'd had the actual phrase in my head. Three, yeah.
Have you got Bangkok?
Bangkok, four.
Yep. Colorado.
Colorado, five. He's doing them in order, baby.
Yeah. Hokkaido.
Hokkaido, six.
What's the first one of two? Oh, fuck, where's that one set? I'll skip that one and go straight to Miami.
Yeah.
I can't remember the order of these ones now, but I'm going to go Isle of Skilg.
Yeah.
Yep. How many am I on now?
You're on eight.
Eight.
Five more.
New York.
New York is there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a DLC one?
It is DLC one. New York is.
Yeah.
It's for. Wait,
it's on the list. It's on the list. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean it's on there.
It was Hitman 2 DLCs. New York.
Yeah. Oh, were there only four main levels in Hitman 2?
Six.
No, there's six.
What are we
yeah,
using?
They is
anyway.
Mumbai.
We'll come back to it. Mumbai's on there.
Mumbai's on there. Yeah.
Three more.
Okay, Dartmoor.
Dartmoor.
Berlin.
Berlin.
Dubai.
Dubai is on there. Do you know what this is? I think the IGN wiki isn't, well, at the time he was checking, was not updated because Chongqing isn't on there.
Oh, is it not?
So I think we do have DLC ones, but not all of Hitman 3.
It's fine. But we got them anyway.
We didn't even get there. You accidentally named all the ones that were on the list anyway. we also had Hawke's Bay, which I think is the one worrying about.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Fortuna, Whittleton Creek.
Whittleton Creek.
Himmelstein, Haven Island, and then some missing ones from Hitman 3.
Is Himalayan Chongqing. Mountains the one? That's the last one, I think.
Carpathian
Mountains. Is the Carpathian Mountains.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
No, Carpathian.
Carpathian. There are.
That's because Carpathian.
It's two wall, boys. We need.
Whoa,
the
it's come
fifth.
Down to this.
And it's. at least one of you is going to fucking hate it. Since the end of World War II, the UK has had 15 different prime ministers.
Harold
Wilson does not count twice.
Okay, so we've got one there. It's Harold Wilson.
Oh yeah,
I would have guessed that one. It's fine. It's fine.
That's a freebie for you both. 14 more prime ministers.
Is it me to be first?
It is Matt to be first.
You sure.
Yeah.
Five.
Seven. Oh, I thought he was going to go a big jump there.
A-level history come into play now.
I'd be shitting it if I got given this.
Did your A-level history cover anything like post-World War II Britain?
It was mainly 19th century British politics, but, you know, I bleeded in a bit.
Gladstone all the way, mate.
Yeah. Whoa. Where's Peel when you need him?
Bring them corn laws back.
Stop stalling.
I don't think I can do eight. No, go on, name them.
Oh. Now, do I just go for the newer ones or do I show off? Yeah. Let's get some obvious ones. Let's go with Thatcher.
Yeah.
Thatcher!
Cameron. Blair.
Tony B. Liar. Yup.
Brown,
is there?
Major.
Yeah, major pain in my arse.
Ted Heath.
Ted Heath is there.
And let's go with Alec Douglas Hume.
Alec Douglas. Yeah, Alec Douglas Hume was there. That's it. He's done it.
Stunning stuff.
You could have had
Take your hitman.
You could have had Winston Churchill. You could have had Anthony Eden.
Macmillan.
Could have had Harold Macmillan. Could have had.
Could have probably had Boris Johnson.
Could have had Harold Wilson. Twice. James Callaghan, the dark horse of the group.
Oh, yeah.
Thatcher, Major, Blair, Brown, Cameron, Theresa May, and old Have I Got News For You, Boy. So that is it. Cardi wins 3-2 in a round that I'm afraid I didn't design it, was somewhat weighted towards him.
No, it was a highly cultured affair, though, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're more highly cultured in bullshit trivia than us. That's
bullshit trivia, our country's history.
Yeah. Have you seen that? No, actually, I was going to get emails for what I was about to say. Anyway.
Address some emails. We've got a lot of feedback this week.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off with Matt. Why don't you read one, young sir?
Young sir? Aren't I the oldest in this chat?
I think Joe. Are you older than Joe?
I think I am by a little bit. Anyway, this one's from...
slightly older than me, it's fine. But you are the clerk, so please begin.
Yeah, okay. This one's from Tom Chilton, who says, Duck Hunt, greetings all. I'm going to be doing a charity event later this year, and I was hoping you might be able to give me a shout-out on the pod. Last October, my mum passed away from neck and throat cancer, COVID permitting. In October this year, I plan on doing a CrossFit workout Murph as many times as possible for 24 hours to raise money for the hospice in which she stayed, which is a very, very honourable thing to do.
Yeah, fucking hell.
For reference, the workout I will be repeating consists of, so he's going to do this on loop as many times as possible in 24 hours. Run a mile, 100 pull-ups, 200 press-ups, 300 squats, and run a mile.
Jesus!
Over and over again for 24 hours.
I mean, doing that once that'd be me for a year. So,
oh god, yeah.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that.
I am obviously incredibly soft, so this feels a million miles away from what I could possibly do.
Tom, are you a hard-bodied jock? What's going on over there?
Bodied jock.
So, basically,
you're
absolutely
a hard-headed cock. I didn't even mean it like that.
For anybody listening that would like to provide some money to help Tom's fundraiser for this very, very good cause, the link to the Just Giving page is, get your notepad out, https.
I don't need that bit. Come on.
:// www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Tom-Chilton1.
I'm going to donate. Now.
I shall also, and obviously, sorry for your loss, Tom.
Yeah,
and I hope the day goes well, because that sounds quite demanding, and I respect it fully.
That is ludicrous. How on earth do you expect
in October as well?
Oh yeah,
rainy time.
That's gonna be horrible. I mean, don't want to put you off, Tom, but. Have you thought about this? Couldn't you just, like, play games? Loads of people get given money for playing games now. Just run around in, Red Dead. That'll be fine.
Just do pull-ups in Red Dead. Can you do that? You can do it in Final Fantasy. See how many Final Fantasy pull-ups you can do in.
Actually, don't do that. It's way less fun than running a mile and doing squats.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. I've got an email here from Daniel Melito, who says, Hi, I'm a presenter myself, and I teach people in a hilarious way about chronic illness and disability. During my idea time, I listen to your dry, witty antics and sandwich stories to spur on my gay-addled brain while I have writer's block. I haven't been listening to you long, but you've all quickly become my favourite IGN UK podcast.
No, just favourite IGN podcast, not just the UK one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I added UK. I'm so used to putting those words all together. Favourite IGN
podcast. You've become my favourite IGN UK podcast. And that is high praise. That is high praise.
Favourite IGN podcast. Yes, I'm from the US, but all the domestic IGN podcasts are squeaky clean. If anyone's on those shows and listens to that, here, the people want a bit of... Want a bit of blue, want a bit of filth.
Get some filth in Game Scoop. Come on. That's what the people want.
They don't cuss very much at all, and that makes me suspicious. Too clean, isn't it? Suspicious.
You don't need to be suspicious. They're just nicer people than we are. That's basically it.
Anyway, I always hear you guys say, respect the C. Mm. And it's very key here that Daniel's written out C as the capital letter C. But then he does say, or maybe it's respect the sea, as in the ocean. Or maybe respect the seeing eye dogs. It's not that one. For those of us like me who are newcomers, can you please explain it? We do often get lost behind these very long inside jokes. I mean, respect the sea's probably been going on a year and a half now. And we've had a couple of emails like this. And I do realise if you think we're just saying respect the sea, you might be thinking we're saying respect the C word, which is a totally different thing. And I'm not saying I don't have respect for that, but that's not what we're about as a podcast.
Yeah, sea as in the worst kind of ocean.
Yes, respect the waves, the current, and the devils inside it.
And if you want an explanation as to why, it's because we did an entire special on hilarious stories about drowning in which someone, I can't remember who, and we should remember their name, came up with the phrase, keep up the good work and for Christ's sake respect the sea. I should point out, I haven't told this to either of you, someone sent me a DM this week and they doodled like a really beautiful respect the sea, like it looked almost like a tattoo, but it was just like a little doodle they'd done, and it's
amazing.
It's the closest I've ever come to immediately getting a tattoo.
Can we try and get that on the IGN store, a shirt with like a nice little respect the sea doodle?
Yeah, but the IGN store doesn't ship to the UK, so we'd be
that's a problem
cut out from our own merch.
Maybe I'll draw the Monta shirts for people in Byron.
Also, I just like that you're outwardly going, yeah, can we steal that guy's design and put it on the shop?
I would obviously ask. I'm not a devil myself. But yeah, if you haven't listened to the drowning episode, you should, because if you enjoyed the sandwich stories, God, have you got a lot more ocean stories for you there.
Yeah, so it's more heart-wrenching, but if you do like the fact that we're awful pricks, then I think that probably works for you.
Yeah. There you go, Daniel. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, Daniel. I don't know why I said that so frighteningly. This is from Christine Branch. Christine has messaged us before. Thank you for reading my email last week. You asked for clarification. I have fortunately not been incarcerated. So this was the juice and cereal combo question.
Yes.
I have fortunately not been incarcerated. I am, in fact, a learning disability nurse. I mean,
we have a lot of good people on this podcast.
There's too
like
many
to help others.
Nice people.
And we apologise.
Yeah, we do bugger all. Whilst my juice and cereal combination may be weird, I guess. Oh, sorry, may be weird. I guess I'm just used to it now. I think the thought process was I like cereal and I like juice. So why not see if they work together? Fair enough.
That's true.
I guess that there has been a degree of experimentation over the years. You are correct in your... Matt, why do you keep highlighting the phrase that I'm reading?
Oh, sorry, because I highlight shit when I'm reading it, so I'm reading it at the same time and didn't realise that you're in the dock as well, because of course you are.
I keep thinking you're going to delete the thing as I'm reading it, like a test.
It's a memory game.
That's really freaking me out. I guess there's been a degree of experimentation over the years. You are correct in your guess that apple juice is the best one to use, although white grape juice is a close second. I don't think I've ever had white grape juice. Is it good?
I have. Yeah. It tastes like grapes.
Yeah, fair enough. Orange juice is too sour in combination with the cereal. I did try mango, tropical, and pineapple juice, but these also tend to be too strong. Cranberry is too sharp.
I agree with all of that, I think.
Yeah, I think we wondered whether mango might be smooth enough, but apparently not. I did try water. Mother Nature's juice. And whilst this does work with porridge, I find it a bit bland with cereal. I've tried all sorts of cereal over the years, but if I had to pick one, it would be Shreddies. I guess, yeah, Shreddies and fruit
apple juice
kind of
Shreddies.
Works. Because malty...
I suppose it's almost kind of like a really cold, deconstructed apple crumble.
Yeah, apple juice and Shreddies, that is a deconstructed cold apple crumble. It's like an apple crumble you'd find on the road. I used to like Sunny D back in the day, but never with cereal. The worst cereal for me, I think, is Bran Flakes. I think it's fair. Thank you for the weekly entertainment. It really is a highlight. Can I say keep going to all my fellow key workers? Agreed. Keep going. And more so, get paid more, please. That's how I say things to people. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Then you can get all that delicious nut milk.
Oh, yeah. You are missing out on the nut milk situation. But I think...
How do you feel about nut milk, Matt? And more specifically, just the term nut milk.
Well, I mean, in this day and age, now nutting has become a thing.
What do you mean it's become a thing? What, during the pandemic?
In these unprecedented times, we nut.
Yeah, we're definitely not squeaky clean, are we?
The phrase that and nut butter can please go in the drain. But
yeah, they are grim.
Yeah, I don't mind stocking my fridge with some milk that was achieved from something that was not living.
Yeah. Coconut's the best.
Sounds like you're milking a dead cow. Oh my god. Oh, good stuff. Second round of feedback. Let's keep this going, because we're on to what everyone was waiting for. Drum roll, please. Butter stories.
Okay, let's start with Andrew Kershaw, who says, "Hello all, keep up the great work, and thank you for your recent butter discussions. They made me all nostalgic about my youth, my fat youth. There came an age where, suddenly, I was tall enough to go to the fridge independently and help myself. I would sneak into the kitchen with no one else present, take a slice of ham, a knob of butter, place the butter in the ham, wrap it up, and pop it in my mouth. From that moment, the ham and butter parcel was born and kept me going as a pre-dinner snack for some of my chubbier youthful days. I now know it's probably not that healthy and so haven't
probably
had one in
not.
Years. This may well change soon. Thanks again, and for God's sake, respect the butter."
Oh, there we go. A twist. We do need to respect butter.
I don't think we're going to get any designs for respect the butter sent to us, but fair enough. Good try.
The ham and butter parcel is... I'm not fat. I like my bread. Bread's one of the best things on earth, so I do like a sandwich. We've gone through this before. We don't need to talk about sandwiches again, but... I don't just want the insides of a sandwich without the bread, I don't think. I like the texture. It just seems a bit too slimy for me. But there you go.
Fair.
Yeah. That's what I have to say about that. Anyway, I have an email, a butter-related email, from CJ in Nebraska, who says, "Hi, guys. Hope you all are well. Are we all well?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
A bit of delay on that, but I think we are.
Sometimes I just have to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
You make sure.
Anyway, CJ says, "Regarding butter freaks, a friend of mine would take a whole stick of butter, roll it in cinnamon and sugar, and eat it like a candy bar. While all those things together are delicious, not taking the next step of spreading it on toast or something made it revolting to me." I do agree, just... eating a stick, like, just butter is... it's not for me. It sounds like a euphemism. My own grandmother used to butter her watermelon slices.
I read this before, and that hadn't occurred to me, and then when you just popped in the euphemism thing...
That is a vivid image. Right, my own grandmother used to butter her watermelon slices for reasons that I could never understand. I always just chalked it up to her living through the Great Depression. And
that's not funny, but...
I know, but it's...
It's a funny connection.
I always just chalked it up to her living through the Great Depression and presumably picking up odd food habits.
Why not?
That is odd. Although I could kind of... watermelon with a bit of salt, I could kind of get...
Salted watermelon.
Yeah. Jesus. I'm sorry for the images that are now in your head, CJ. As far as cereal goes, while I was in college, my roommates would eat Beerios, Cheerios, but with beer instead of milk. Pilsners didn't work very well, but a Guinness or a stout wasn't too bad.
I was going to say a stout could work. Like one of those big chunky, like, marshmallow or peanut butter stouts.
Oh, yeah, or a chocolate one.
All the rage. Or,
I think around Christmas found a Biscoff stout.
Ooh.
There we go. No, Biscoff, anything is good, though, isn't it? Lest you think I'm only throwing others under the freak food practices bus, I grew up eating peanut butter and cheese sandwiches. And to my shame, I continue to do so. I know you said to hold off on other spreads. We did say that. But I thought maybe peanut butter would be a nice transition spread. Always love the show.
Transition
stay healthy
spread.
And respect the sea. Do you know what? It has butter in the name, so I'll allow it.
Transition spread.
God, those watermelon slices have done me in. Not for the first time.
I've got one. This is from Alid John. Ahoy, podcast crew.
Is this on Alid's iPad?
Oh, yeah. Alid, was it you screaming? You will read my email and understand it. As soon as I heard you ask for weird butter feedback, I had to chime in immediately, as I am a butter fiend.
I am butter fiend.
Anyone I've mentioned this concoction to always thinks it sounds disgusting and looks at me in a weird way. But it is delicious and one of my favourite snacks to have with a cup of tea.
Where's this going?
I've not read this. This is wild. It consists of 6 rich tea biscuits, 3 laughing cow cheese triangles, and a brew in a mug wide enough to dunk the biscuits in.
Don't dunk your cheese.
Assembly is simple. Butter the inside of the rich tea biscuits. Place the cheese triangles on 3 of the biscuits. Then with the other rich teas, you place them on top of the cheese triangle, forming a mini sandwich. You then push down on top of the biscuit sandwich to spread the cheese into an even layer and manageable size. Next, lick off any excess spillage around the edge, and then dunk it into the cup of tea and insert into your mouth to enjoy. And here's an unexpected connection. This is something my grandma made for me as a kid. And I still make them to this day because I bloody love it. What do you guys think of this combo? Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Respect the sea. Everyone's done it.
Like, in essence, I think the rich tea with cheese and butter is like, that's just like cheese and crackers, cheese and biscuits. That's not a mad thing.
Rich teas are the worst biscuit, though.
Yeah, like, I'm not a big rich thing. They're kind of pointless. Got 2 things to say here. Laughing cow over Dairily. Interesting.
Yeah.
It is kind of a bit like a dunkable. But, yeah, like, dipping cheese and crackers into your tea.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not sure about that. I don't like tea anyway. I don't like rich teas, and I don't like laughing cow. So I'm not the right person to actually, you know, talk about this, but you're disgusting, Alan.
It's like getting a spoonful of butter and mixing it into your tea. Would you do that?
I do love this idea of grandma's giving us, like, bizarre recipes, though. Is this...
Yeah.
I know, like, recipes in the old days were different to recipes now, but is it, like, a specific thing that grandmas do bonkers shit with food?
I suppose there was just less ready-made stuff, less stuff. You just have to kind of make your own stuff up.
Yeah, like, you didn't have people on the internet to call you disgusting when you made it, I suppose.
No one knew. Like, for all we know, CJ's grandma's buttery watermelon slices, like, she went a whole life thinking this is perfectly normal.
Are we cancel culture? Are we cancelling grandmas?
No.
Have we done
it? Of course, with IGN _ UK feedback at IGN.com if you want to send in more butter feedback. And you know what? Following on from today, we're gonna open it more to grandma recipes. So I want to know what your grandmas are packing.
Did your grandma do something nuts? That's what I want to know.
This is a dangerous episode, isn't it? It's not even over yet, because now we're going to somehow get it together and talk about WandaVision a bit.
Yeah.
Not for long, but we're just going to talk about what we feel so far, where we think it might go. So this is your warning. We'll play a little bit of the WandaVision theme tune, one of them, for about, I don't know, 10 seconds or so, and that'll be your signal to turn off. So this is your last warning. If you haven't watched WandaVision, you don't want to know about WandaVision up to and including episode 5, turn off now. Matt.
Hello.
You have been reviewing every episode of WandaVision for IGN, which should mean you know more about this than anyone.
Well, more. Who knows if I know more about it? If you see our WandaVision chat in Slack, if you're an IGN employee, there are many ideas and suggestions about what might be going on, which are a little bit beyond my head. But yeah, do you know what fucking minefield this show is to review? Every week, it's something different.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine it's not easy. I think one thing we can all agree on, though, is that we are all very much enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
I love MCU stuff, but I am surprised by how much I am loving it. And really looking forward to the next week and having that nice thing of, like, you know when you finish a Marvel movie and then it goes, like, Doctor Strange will return, but it's like 5 years away.
Yeah.
And it's always several months or a year if there's a giant illness until you get another MCU product. And there's something really nice about, like, just knowing it's round the corner, like the next little tidbit.
Sorry,
are you laughing at watermelons again?
Yeah! I just thought of them.
Get a grip.
I'm sorry, let's talk about Vision and Wonder.
But yeah, and I think part of that, which Matt has expertly pulled apart in his reviews, is I think it's doing a really good job of having set up the bizarre sitcom, you know, facets. It's now kind of deconstructing them and pulling them apart and making them more interesting and, like, showing you them again with new knowledge. And I think that's been a really fun part of the mystery to start seeing in the last couple of weeks.
I think what you can see I'm faltering here is because I don't... The thing that's fun about it, and I must emphasize this is fun before it sounds like I'm complaining, is it's difficult to know what the show is because it sets itself up as a sitcom. So for three episodes, essentially, it is just a sitcom with this kind of weirdness going on underneath it. But you then get the gap episode, which is four, which is kind of showing you all of what's been happening for the past three episodes from the perspective of S.W.O.R.D., which is really cool to introduce kind of like another big agency from Marvel into it. This episode was kind of a bit more interesting because it's not, even though it's got quite a lot set in like this 80s sitcom that's a bit kind of like, I don't really know which, even if it was honing in on a specific homage this time round, but it's not a very funny episode in the slightest, really. There's the odd kind of like more what I consider classic Marvel kind of humor drops, but it's not. It's certainly not as funny, Cardi, as your buttered watermelons, because I can see you're desperate to let another laugh out.
No, just keep going, ignore me.
But the thing is now is I'm wondering for when I approach next week's, am I supposed to be expecting that it's a sitcom, or is the sitcom being phased out? Is it supposed to be a comedy show now? Is it okay that it was a comedy for 3 weeks and now isn't? Mm-hmm. And these are the sort of questions that I know I can only answer once we've seen all 9 episodes. And I can see why there are quite a lot of people that really just wanted the whole season to drop like a Netflix show just so they can work out what the hell it is. But part of the joy is trying to understand what it is week to week. And as you say, Joe, like the deconstruction of what it is and taking parts of sitcoms and extrapolating them into MCU storylines and kind of all of this. So that is the joy of seeing it week by week. But it does mean that when you try and write about it, it's difficult to bring all of that to the fore. So sometimes, like, if you do read my reviews and think, what the bloody hell is this guy thinking? It is because there's a lot to unpack at 8 a.m. in the morning.
I agree. Like, I think it benefits from the week to week a lot, whereas we get a lot of shows that just drop in one go, because a lot of the fun of this show is the anticipation each week and thinking, where is it going to go? Like, it reminds me of a lot of, it's gone less so that way, but it does remind me of Twin Peaks in the way that every week in between Twin Peaks, you're just thinking, what the hell is going on here? Who is, like, what's going on? You have all that, and like all the theories in the week building up are what make it so much fun, I think. And like you said, like the first three episodes were actually surprisingly funny. I was expecting it to be quite pleasant and enjoyable, but I genuinely laughed. I wasn't expecting it to be actually funny. I thought there'd just be nice, like, homages and pastiches of things. But I really liked episode four. I thought, like, they did a really good... Like, it could have been lazily done, but they did it really well, intertwining it all and having the Thanos snap actually part of it as well. This most recent episode I thought was not quite as good personally. I thought it was fine for a large portion of it. I was kind of watching it going, I'm learning nothing new here, really. I'm just kind of... We're seeing new interactions with characters. I like when Wanda kind of went outside for a little bit and actually talked to these people. And there's quite clearly, as you have in all of these kind of agencies, the one guy who's a bit hot-headed and like, I know better than you. This person's dangerous and we're going to get rid of him. And he's quite obvious. There's no real villain. Like, you could argue Wanda's a villain. You could argue he's a villain. But
I think that's what makes it interesting beyond quite, because a lot of the time, and you know, I do like this about comic books, but they are normally painted in quite distinct black and white shades, whereas Marvel, especially the MCU, doesn't tend to really do that. There's, even when you come to the more adventurous stuff where you've got kind of like Avengers, which obviously works on a much larger scale, the Avengers has always benefited from the fact that it was always building around Thanos, or even Ultron is quite clearly a malicious bad person. It is nice, and I think it needed the extra time that a TV show lends to be able to do something that's a little bit more murky, a little bit less obvious what's going on. So I do like that there's not an obvious villain. But I must say, this episode was the one where Wanda's not great, is she? And, like, I love that character, but she is effectively gaslighting her presumably dead husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I think, like, I think that's what I'm enjoying, is that, you know, we've been brought into this going like, she's bereaved and we should feel sorry for her. And the more we learn, the more we're like, nope, this is bad version of grief. If indeed it, you know, that's what we're looking at, you know. And there's various theories going around that there's other Marvel villains and stuff behind the scenes and that kind of thing. So we'll see where that goes. But that is what I'm enjoying about it, is that there's this feeling of, I don't know who I'm supposed to be rooting for here beyond obviously Jimmy, who's great. I love that there's one shot of him in this episode where it's the one shot where the sitcom world seems to have leaked out into the real world, which is just him walking along with a bunch of coffees and giving someone a big grin. And you're like, I don't know why that's in here. It's just making him nicer.
I love the Jimmy stuff and the Kat Dennings stuff as well. I think they're great to have back. And the big question I have at the moment is, how much of this do you think is just in Wanda's head and made up? Like, Vision is quite obviously not, like, he's dead. Like, he is dead. The kids, are they figments of her imagination, or are they actual beings that exist?
It feels like this week was a lot about throwing ideas that aren't immediately solvable at you to kind of obfuscate what might be really going on, because you get this... You get the feeling of like, okay, so we kind of know what's happening to all the people, but then the kids throw that into disarray, because you're like, well, is she creating kids, or, as they say, is she transforming them? Which kind of makes some sense at the same time as you're watching her transform clothes materially and really. But then in that case, you then get back to like, well, then are those kids... Where did they come from in the first place? And all this stuff. Like, there's plenty of, like, little juicy things to kind of work on, which obviously the thing we're not talking about, which is the biggest MCU news from the show so far, is that Quicksilver turns up, but it's the Quicksilver from the X-Men films, not the
MCU.
That's
the big question we have, because if it's... There's a few different things this could be. It could be the multiverse is starting to, like, tear. Like, this is, like... the X-Men multiverse coming into this one. It's because it would be weird for Wanda to just imagine Quicksilver as someone else that is also an actor who's played Quick. Like, that is too much of a weird coincidence, and would be a bad move, in my opinion, for it just to be, here's a nod
like a
to
joke,
the audience.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't make much sense for the MCU as a whole. So, like, is this their way of... Like, is this the first proper glimpse of the multiverse we're getting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pointing that way. And I have to say, I'm not totally pleased with that, because I think I've been really excited about how does the MCU make New Mutants? How do they make us care about new actors playing familiar roles? I thought that was a really fun challenge. And if they're essentially sidestepping it, I feel like we kind of lose out a little bit. Because apart from anything else, those X-Men films are so fucking complicated and bullshit at the end that, like... I don't want to have to reckon with that as part of this world that is actually really well sketched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because apart from, I mean, a similar, but I don't particularly, I don't have any fondness for those X-Men films. Apart from I enjoy First Class, but all the ones after it I don't think are very good at all.
Yeah.
And I don't think many of the casting choices are good. I think James McAvoy is good. I think Hugh Jackman's obviously a good Wolverine. I like the Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen choices. But like a lot of the like younger versions of the X-Men they brought in, I don't really... Seeing them in the MCU, I just... To me, it'll just bring the quality down. I just don't think they're anywhere near as good.
I will say, me and Matt stumbled on an idea that I think... Matt more than me. I think I sparked an idea in Matt this morning, which was... I said, fucking hell, I want Kelsey Grammer in the MCU so badly. And then Matt went, what if they did Frasier next week? And Kelsey Grammer turns into Beast at the end.
Sounds amazing.
Would be best thing that
Kelsey Grammer would
do.
Be a fantastic MODOK.
He would be a really good MODOK. He's halfway there, and he's just as evil in real life as MODOK. He's not evil. He's just a man who I firmly disagree with on almost all things. He would be funny in it. But I agree. Like I think you're right. Like getting those characters in, it just doesn't feel MCU-y to me at this point. So I hope they have a way around it. I'd love to see that thing. I do have to say, I found it quite funny. The Aaron Taylor-Johnson version of Quicksilver matters so little to me and made such a little dent in my head and my psyche about this series that when Evan Peters turned up, I didn't realise he was the Evan Peters or the wrong Quicksilver until Kat Dennings said they've recast him as a joke. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, he's the wrong one. It was really weird. I think it's an interesting show, though. And, like, I am super excited for the wider multiverse bullshit they're going to do because, you know, the opportunities that offers is really fun. But just the X-Men in particular is a little bit of an odd one.
Yeah, the thing that I really hope that they don't do is that you go too far and say, like, this is the X-Men from this thing, but there's then an MCU version of the X-Men, so there are now two versions of X-Men. Yeah. It's like there's a lot of precedent already set in comic books about making too many areas of your multiverse. And like DC had to demolish it all, which is what kind of like the Infinite Crisis stuff is. And then they just did it again. And there have been so many crises to quash down problems that they've made with the continuity that I really worry that it's comics. I think it's easy to just keep doing it all the time because you get one issue of pretty much everything a month. When it's a film, you only really get one stab at it, especially when you're going as long as kind of the MCU has now. I am kind of worried about where Multiverse could go because it could be such a mess and
I'm hoping there's only like two or three like universes. Like there's either this one we're used to with the MCU and then the other one has the X-Men and the version of the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man and or a third one that has Spider-Man in separately. Like I hope they keep it to just like two or three and not some like maybe like in 15 films time we could have a mad thing where seven collide and stuff but it like, does just introduce one at a time.
It does feel like this suddenly explains how they've quite recently started talking about how there will be a Deadpool. Like that's the point at which you go, oh right, okay, so that's how they're going to do it. He'll just fall into our world and it'll be hijinks. And which I am excited about. I haven't loved either Deadpool film, but I just like Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds having a nice time, so that's fine with me. But yeah, I think it is quite fascinating.
I'm into it. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. And then, like, as soon as this finishes, aren't we getting Winter Soldier?
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Or, there we go. You know, wherever that goes. I'm still pinning my hopes on it'll turn into Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
We'll see. We will see. It's good stuff. Hope you're enjoying WandaVision. Again, IGN_UK feedback at IGN.com. Tell us if you're liking WandaVision and what butter food you're eating.
And if your grandma was mad. With food, especially, not in general.
especially with food. This has been lovely. What music are we having, though? That's the big question. Or should we just have more from the Hanford Parish Council?
Yeah, that's music to my ears. More Hanford Parish Council, please.
It's done. Okay.
Actually set to like dramatic MCU music, though.
Stop giving me more to do.
That's fine. You can just put the Avengers theme
tune
behind
this
the Hanford.
At 4 o'clock on Friday. I've got to get this out.
You'll love it. You'll have a lovely time. When you do it, you'll go, oh, I've done my work for the week. And then you'll sign off.
For the week. Lovely. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
It's only the chairman who can remove people from a meeting. You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out.
She's
kicked him out. Don't. She's kicked him out. Don't.
This is a meeting called by two councillors.
Illegally?
They now elect a chairman.
No, they can't, because the vice chair's here. I take charge. Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Dear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.